thing has flown out of my head that I was thinking of saying.
It'll come back to you.
I'm in a state of zen. I was going to say mindlessness, but that's not what it's supposed to be. Mindfulness.
But that's your thing.
Yeah, it's a mindless state of mindlessness.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Yep. Patented. I love the royalties on that. On that sucker.
I think you mean you don't mind the royalties on it. Episode 23, the informal pickup game episode. In this episode, your hosts Steve and Mal hurtle from point A to point B while they speculate on how there might be some crying in baseball, contemplate bullying and its behavioral opposite, and admire the pileup of dirty snow en route. Strap in for the ride to Redacted. Listeners, please be advised there are occasional cuss words in these episodes, so now you know.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Thank you. Who's in charge of my mouth?
I'd like to speak to the manager.
Yeah. Let me talk to your manager. Do you ever get that at work? That must be fun.
No, actually, usually what happens is I will be done dealing with someone and we'll be like, I'll get a manager for you. I'll be right. Like, I'm passing the buck.
Yeah, like you should be saying that now, but I'm going to do it for you.
Yeah, very rarely does it happen that somebody asks to talk to my manager. I have a thing that is shockingly few customer service people have, which is de-escalation skills.
So, let me just say that again for the listeners. De-escalation skills.
Yes.
Okay.
As in, somebody can be very upset and feel like nobody's listening to them, and I can, you know, make them feel loved and held.
Wow.
Even if we can't help them, you know? I'm like, listen, like, you know, I understand what you're saying. This is what you're saying is your problem, and you know, I totally get you. It really sucks. Like, you know, we've had people come in before and they want XYZ and we just don't have it, and I'm really sorry, and like whatever, and they feel soothed. So sometimes people want the manager, but it's never my fault that they want the manager. It's usually some character flaw of theirs that causes them to need to be soothed by an authority figure, which, as we know, is babyish behavior.
There's so much to unpack there that I'm just not going to do it.
I'm just going to zen through this episode.
Okay. But, I mean, as you're saying, the de-escalation skills.
Yes.
You with the de-escalation skills. I mean, I would feel remiss if I didn't ask the question that you probably get all the time, which is, have you ever thought of getting, you know, a professional therapy certification?
Yes, I have.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah, I've thought about it.
Yeah, because you obviously got the vocation. I mean,
why get paid with it when I could start a podcast with my dad and give it away for free?
Exactly. To him, at least. And, of course, the listeners benefit because they're all going, mm-hmm, that's me.
This is like passive therapy, as in, like, you know, for our listeners, because they don't have to bare their souls to anybody, but they do get the benefit of therapy.
Well, I mean, isn't that all of podcasting?
No.
Ira Glass looking at you.
Some podcasting
he's going,
is funny.
Okay. Oh, well. You're saying we're not?
I'm merely implying that we're not.
Okay.
I think we are, but that doesn't mean that we empirically are.
I think we are, but that doesn't mean we are.
Yeah, scientifically.
Okay. Right, scientifically funny.
Yeah, there's... Proven. I was on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, I had a class with my fifth graders because I am now their Jewish studies teacher on Tuesdays. And we were talking about how do you know something exists? I started the class, first of all, I broke them into groups of three, and then I had one person describe the other person's face while the third person drew them on the board, to hilarious results. And then I was like, drew a web on the board, and I just wrote the word exists in the middle, and I was like, we're having philosophy class today. I was like, how do we know something exists? And I got a lot of answers that were mostly sensory answers. It was like touch and, you know, seeing and all of that.
Right.
And I was like, okay, great. I also got some answers that were like, somebody's told you. I was like, this is bad science. You need to verify for yourself if something exists. Somebody tells you unicorns exist. You need to find some evidence before you believe them or whatever. You need to check your sources. Anyway.
So
I started crossing things out on the board. And I was like, well, what if you can't see it? What if you can't touch it? You know, how do we know it exists? And they were really struggling with that. They were like, I don't know. I was like, some things we know exist and we can't see or touch them or whatever, but we can still gather evidence that they exist. I was like, think about emotions. I was like, we can feel them. And we can take images of your brain when you're experiencing different emotions and see the difference between different things. And they were like, oh, really? And I was like, yes. Not everyone's a huge nerd, so this is new information for some people. But yes, your brain releases different chemicals. That's why you, like, feel things. And so we can gather we can see that. We can gather empirical evidence on that. I was like, so what if you have no evidence? And obviously we were talking about God, because it was like, you know, Jewish studies. And I was like, I'm not telling you God exists. I'm not telling you God doesn't exist. You're free to believe whatever you want. You're free to change your mind as many times as you want as a Jew throughout your life. Nothing bad will happen to you. You will not go to hell. And I was like, so how do you know something exists if you have no evidence? And it's like, you don't. You don't know if it exists. It's just, what do you believe, you know? What makes it easier for you to get up in the morning? Is it believing that there is someone watching everything from afar, either passively or actively, or is it not that, you know? And that was our lesson.
Wow.
Our philosophy
lesson.
Fifth grade,
huh?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you know something exists? How do we know what we know is a branch of philosophy known as, I want to say paleontology, but I know that is wrong.
That
so
is
ontology. Something-ology.
Oncology.
Oncology. No, that's cancer study. Something-ology.
Okay.
Etymology. I think it has an E in it.
Etymology is...
It's words.
Words.
Yeah, and entomology is insects. So it's not those things, listeners.
Yeah.
Epistemology.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it, though. Still got it.
Still got it.
Albeit not as close to hand as one used to have it.
Nah.
Paleontology is still, I think, a fun guess.
The study of pales.
Right.
They have a teacher who writes their lesson plans and all of that for, and who teaches them on Sunday. And I do her lesson plans for Tuesday. This is a recent development. Just.
Right.
You know, out of necessity.
Well, I think also a recognition of your obvious skills.
Well, so here's the thing. I have done this several times over the years working there, where they're like, all of a sudden, teacher is going to have surgery and be out for the rest of the year. Can you take over their class? I've done that. And it's, like, such a drag.
Yeah,
to have to, like, take over in the middle of the year.
But it must be gratifying to know. You know,
it's nice to be able to, like, talk about real topics with kids.
And also that they would ask you. It's a definite vote of confidence.
Sure. I'm not...
That, you know, you wouldn't be, like, the one that they would say, no, don't ask that person.
Well, I would rather that they just...
Got their
be able to get a replacement...
Right.
like, so that I can continue doing the work that I'm doing, which I think is important, and right. like that they also think that the work I'm doing is important.
Duly noted. The grumbling is very professional.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But you know, you're having to step in and sort of save the. You're like, this will mean nothing to you till I explain it. You're like the Preki of TSTI. Preki was, I forget his full real name, but he played in, I think, Major League Soccer. And they would bring him in the last 2 minutes of the game, and he would score a goal.
Uh-huh.
That's, you're like the Preki of the second graders or the fifth, or whoever.
When I was in Ireland watching hurling, which is a very violent sport, I was like basically in the pub with all of the women folk, the men being, I don't know, out at work or elsewhere.
Or hurling.
Probably at a different pub.
Right. Some of them.
And so
hurling.
It was like, you know, my then girlfriend or fiance's like aunts and I don't know, just all the people in the village. And they were just watching hurling, and there was one of the commentators or whatever said that they were holding one of the players in reserve, and one of the women piped up, why are they holding him in reserve? He's not a fine wine, like.
So. Nice, nice. This is why we travel.
Sure.
We used to drink after games for Millburn United, the team that for a while I formed, managed, played for, and quit.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were in our first season, when we won almost every game, went nearly undefeated in particular, but also even in our losing season, we would drink after games. Beer went down easy because you work up a thirst and the sun running around. And, yeah.
You said this was Millburn United?
Millburn United, the badly named.
Named after Manchester.
Well, there's a lot of Uniteds. But
Man U.
You know, when we were winning, like, every game, we were fairly united. But then when we...
Manchester divided.
Exactly, exactly. When we got promoted for our sins... from the general divisions of this over 40 soccer league to the premier division. It's like, whoa, those teams were good. And we went almost unvictorious.
Yeah.
We won one game, our last game of the season. Uh-huh. Have I told you this?
No.
And by that time, we were ready to kill each other. We had this one guy, Bobby, who for this purpose I'll call... Eddie.
Why?
Skillfully. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
You already said Bobby.
All right. So Bobby was, in his youth, had been a skilled player. He had played on the youth division of a professional Premier League English team. And he was good. But like all of us, but maybe a little more so, he was slowing down because he was getting old. And the slower he got, he also had another gift other than being able to read the field and play soccer well, which was he would wind people up. He had this vocal gift. And unfortunately, it was indiscriminate. And when we were starting to lose every game, it was like friendly fire. He would wind us up, not just the refs and the other team, to the point where... if we ever, like, did okay in a game, we would still come home with black clouds over our heads.
Mm-hmm.
So by the end of it, we were just all ready to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, gave me the understanding that guys in their 40s are worse than 12-year-olds in the maturity department.
Yeah.
At least in... amateur soccer, the minute you put uniforms on them and have a referee on the field, something happened. Like, when we were just doing pickup games informally, the same group of people, everything was like wonderful. Anyway, sorry. Thanks for listening.
Why are you apologizing?
I feel like it's a little info dumpy.
It's not.
No, okay. I mean,
I'm listening.
Like, where is this going? Why do we need to know? I don't know. Anyway.
This is the informal pickup game podcast.
The informal pickup game portion of our show. Yeah, there's no refs.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that. That's intriguing.
I mean, that's like the ultimate frisbee thing, right? It's like,
I guess.
Self-referent.
In what way? No refs in ultimate.
Yeah, no gods, no refs.
No crying in baseball, no refs in ultimate frisbee.
Yes. There's no crying in baseball.
You know what? That immediately makes me want to, like, question it. Like, there must be some crying in baseball.
Oh, I'm sure.
And now I want to see it.
I'm sure there have been tears shed in baseball.
Yeah. I mean, people could get hurt.
Sure.
Although, I think it's a lot harder to get, I don't know. Depends.
I think, well, you'd have to get wanged by a baseball, which is pretty bad if it's going at like 90 miles an hour.
This is the how to get hurt in baseball portion of our show.
Yes, how to succeed in business.
How to
get hurt in baseball.
I mean, you could just Google it, but.
Sure.
Yeah, so you could get wanged by a baseball. Be wanged by what?
A bat. Or exactly. Another player, I guess.
A flung bat. Or another player. Also, the spikes, like, a person slides in with the spikes up.
Sure.
If you have spikes.
Yeah.
That could hurt. Or two outfielders. I think this happened on the Mets with surprising frequency.
They start colliding.
Colliding as they're going for a fly ball. That could happen.
Mm-hmm.
What if we just changed it all around? No crying in hockey? No referees in hockey?
No referees in hockey would be fucking Calvin Ball.
What ball?
Calvin Ball.
What is Calvin Ball? It's from Calvin and Hobbes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Where they would change the rules as they're playing.
Uh-huh.
Like,
right.
You know, make it up as they go along.
Well,
so, I mean, I've noticed in my students, young kids have an obsession with fairness. That's not fair, like, a lot.
Right.
And I've mentioned before that, like, early on, I'll teach my second graders about equity so that when they're like, well, that's not fair, why does that person get more clay than I do? I'm like, remember that lesson that we had about how some kids have different needs than you?
Right.
And, like, they might need more of a thing, and it doesn't mean that it's not fair. It just means that you don't need it, and they do.
Equity.
Yeah,
but, I mean, when you said that second graders and blah, 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 their kids are into fairness.
Yes.
The way you said it, I'm thinking, okay, so there's something about how you said it is like, you're obviously not in the second grade mode, and you're a little jaded because you're a grown-up. It's like, if I exaggerate that, what I'm guessing your tone could be, it would be like, oh, fairness.
Yeah.
Oh, you want it to be fair. Welcome to life, kid.
No, not...
And then they all leave crying.
not welcome to life, but like, you don't know what fair is yet. But kids will self-govern. And it's sometimes
you mean govern
up.
Each other?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As a collective. But we're talking about sports and like kids who are unrefereed will enforce rules upon each other.
Yeah, and a lot of times, if it's like when I was a kid, it works out. You know, maybe not perfectly.
Sure.
But like they don't do that badly.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to sports, at least.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, we do get bullying, ostracizing.
Right.
And
yeah, that happens too.
Mean behavior.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, I feel like, obviously, bullying is, like, a thing that can lead to kids committing suicide and, like, you know, being psychologically damaged and, you know, ultimately become the Unabomber. But I'm also like, I don't feel like campaigns against bullying have ever made the slightest bit of difference to
it
how much.
Happens.
Yeah, I feel like if you're like 10% of, or maybe that's a very low estimate, maybe if you're like 60% of kids get bullied to the point of, you know, psychological damage at some point in their childhood, you know, before they turn 18 or whatever.
60%, like, that's high.
Well, I think I'm saying at least once.
Okay.
Kids are going to be picked on or whatever.
Right.
Or have a period where they have no friends or like whatever.
Right. But I mean the damage. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, 60 to me is a conservative estimate. I would say most kids. And 60 is most.
Yeah, but
at
to
least
the damage
once.
Point, I mean.
I mean going home crying because you wore like your new jacket and everyone said you looked stupid. Like.
Right.
I'm just saying, I feel like everybody fucking has that at least once.
Yeah,
but,
it's pretty available. I agree with that.
So, like, you know.
But not when we play touch football.
When you play touch football, you could just take your aggression out right there.
Well, no, touch football was gentle the way we played it.
Yeah, the touches were loving caresses.
Yeah, more or less. But then there were kids who didn't play the touch football because they felt like they were not athletic and they felt like they like self-selected because maybe they had been bullied out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Or even the threat of bullying, even if you've never had it happen, but you're afraid of it, you know.
Mm.
But in any case,
that would be a way that there could be crying in baseball.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
The fourth way, or the third, whatever the extra way we didn't list. Not just physical.
Emotional abuse in baseball.
Emotional damage. That time I got cut from the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Felt bad about that, but it wasn't the kid, it was the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, he's entitled. But why did he have to wait so long till I had bought my new pair of cleats?
Mm-hmm.
And then sat in the closet mocking me until they got thrown away. Speaking of crying.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I'm laughing. I don't think I cried then, but I definitely felt sad. That walk home after getting, I was going to say fired, cut.
Yeah. He gave you the pink slip.
Yeah, and I mean, I had been, like, practicing with... Now, to be fair, I was not that good.
Sure.
I was way better at touch football.
And this was long before participation trophies had their day.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, not that I ever got even close to the trophy area, because I was not on the team. But I was with the team long enough... on probation, I guess, in limbo, to feel like I was part of the team and to see like the kids that were on the team. This was what, ninth grade? Yeah, ninth grade. Benjamin Franklin Junior High School. Mr. Birdsall. Thank you. The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. Whom we'll call Eddie for.
Exactly. Oh my God. Yeah.
Bullying has evolved to fill the space of cyber stuff. So, like, now instead of not inviting Becky to your birthday party, you can just un-add her from the group chat.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's cold. Back in the day, you just wouldn't take her calls, which
right.
is what happened to me. And that wasn't necessarily bullying. It was just an ex-friend deciding that she didn't want to be my friend anymore. So I would
right.
call her house and be like, when are we going to hang out? Because I haven't seen you in months and you don't
yeah.
take my calls anymore. And she's like, I don't think we should be friends anymore. And I'm like, okay. And then years later, in like, you know, I don't know, it was like 11th or 12th grade, like in high school, she, because our last names were close, she would be all friendly with me because we'd be sitting near each other in math class and I could do math and she couldn't. And she would want help. And I... being the bigger person, you know, who, like, you know, at the age of 9 or whatever, during that Harry Potter contest at defunct Goldfinch Books, like, when congratulated the girl who had beat me.
Who cheated,
apparently. I, being ever the bigger person, did help her with her math, even though she was, like, you know...
not taking your calls.
Yeah, even though in sixth grade, when I had no friends, she decided that she wanted to be one of the friends I didn't have. And so I did help her, but I was not, like, buddy-buddy with her. I was like, I will tell you how to do this, but we're not friends.
Right.
And that was my sticking point.
Right.
Because you're still a human being. I don't really care about you one way or the other, but I don't want to, like, see you suffer or whatever.
So see you go down with zero math skills in life. Not going to let that happen to you. I'm a bigger person. I'm a big person. I'm imagining from all of this that we're talking about bullying, etc., and some very good disclosures here, by the way, listeners, which I know you can, Janet, I know you can relate to, and you're welcome in advance. But I can imagine, you know, kind of a... I'm going to just use the word conservative type of person. Or maybe this is just even more legitimate than that. Somebody saying, well, but, you know, life is tough. And these are, you know, everybody's, you got to go through it. You know, you got
to. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Everyone should strive not to be the reason that somebody else is like, life is tough. You should be trying to make life less tough for other people. Life should not be tough because of you.
I'm loving here in Redacted.
Yeah.
The piles of dirty snow.
I know, it's really egregious.
They're awesome. It's what?
They're egregious. They're awesome in that...
in their egregiousness.
Well, in like the original definition of the word terrifying, as in awe-stricken at the vastness of the earth, of nature. Look how visible he is.
Yeah,
in his high-vis...
Visible Dog.
Wow, he's so good.
Visible Dog is definitely a band name.
Yeah, that's extremely good. Visible. I mean, it's kind of like Visible Shivers now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a little close to that. Another thing
visible
that...
Visible Sniffers.
I self-cut from that team.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, because...
because they were bullying you.
Well, they weren't bullying me, but when... So the story there was, we were having a fine time. You know, keyboard player in the world of rock, always second-class citizen, but
second
still.
Fiddle.
Yeah, second fiddle, as it were. That's confusing. But at a certain end, we did just covers in a studio, a room that we rented in Manhattan, soundproof studio where we would blast way too loud, just self-indulgent covers and stuff. I think no originals, but we were having fun. So at a certain point, I wanted to take a stab at, and I did take a stab at singing. You know, these guys had been together since college, so a while ago. And I was the newcomer. But so I did some singing. You know, there were one or two of them that sang occasionally. A lot of instrumentals, some songs, and some vocals. And... the guy who was their main vocalist gave out that, no. Now, I have to say, that was probably reasonable.
Just to you, or?
Yeah, to me, it was like, no, Steve, no, you're not going
to
be
singing. He literally said, stick to keyboard?
I don't think he said that, but, you know, I forget the exact words, but the message was clear. It was like, no, that's not going to happen. No, you don't need to sing anymore. And again, I think just on pure merit, pretty fair. I mean, I can do better, but I wasn't. And Yeah. So I get that part of it, but I was miffed because it's like we're just like a self-indulgent in a locked room, soundproof studio cover band. Let me be off key.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
It was. I don't like so that. I was like, I'm done.
Well, was this the group that you also left because it was too loud and they wouldn't turn it down?
It was the same group, but that's not why I left.
Okay.
I left I think it was more...
And wasn't there a group that, like, they booted you out of their Facebook group?
Yeah, yeah. No, that was a group that I started.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I found out that I was out on Facebook. It was a jazz...
You got literally cyberbullied.
Yeah, I guess. The thing
so
is...
So when I'm talking about getting booted out of the group chat,
yeah.
You're like...
Yeah. That's how I found out. It was like a full-on middle school experience.
Yeah.
Way after middle school.
When I got to college, I was like, yay, no more...
No more bullying.
No more high school drama. And then I realized these people are literally still 18-year-olds who right. were in high school a few months ago. Right. So I was like, they did take the drama with them. And now, as an almost 30-year-old... over the years, I've slowly realized, oh, some people straight up never advance beyond that point. And actually, a lot of people never advance beyond that point. You just gotta do the work.
You had a pretty good college run, if I had to guess.
Sure, but there was a lot of, stupid drama.
Yeah, but I don't think it, zapped you.
No, I mean, the thing that I said... about, college while I was there was, that I could have been miserable anywhere.
Huh. But you weren't.
Well, I was sometimes, but it was less to do with my college and more to do with, me.
Right. Same. It was up and down, emotional, hormones, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, unlike now where I'm just, blissful all the time.
Yeah.
Not.
Well, nobody's telling you that you're not allowed to leave to go to the bathroom. I guess they don't really do that in college.
Nobody's telling me not to sing either.
Yeah.
Yeah. More lovely. So does this still meet the definition of snow? or is it... It's just, urbanized.
Yeah, I mean, so this will basically be
with
concrete
the garbage
until
files.
It's about 70 degrees out.
Right.
Yeah, it's basically a part of the landscape. I don't know what you're honking at. There's a freaking bus in front of us.
It's going to go.
Okay.
All right.
We were talking about you being booted out of these groups.
Yeah, fun.
Or self-selecting to leave the groups.
I was not that traumatized by the one about the singing. I was a little miffed, but I was like, I mean, look at what we're doing. Like, really? Seriously? But, you know, I didn't have a lot emotionally invested. It was just like, fine. It was too loud anyway.
Yeah.
I'll save what's left of my hearing. Thank you very much. The other one...
Yeah.
Again, it was so ridiculous.
It was very Mean Girls.
It was, but I didn't... Oh, okay. Which I'll never watch.
Yeah.
But
you understand.
I do. But it was older guys again in a at most this band, this jazz band might someday do weddings and bar mitzvahs.
Yeah.
And that was not my ambition in life, so it was all right, fine. I did some of my own songs. Old Dog.
Yeah.
After that, I was like, I'll do my own thing. Now, here's a challenge in the block and a half we have here.
Sure.
Can we do anything with what's gone before and relate it to these huge piles of dirty snow? Okay, go. Take it away, Mom. No crying in baseball. Bullying. Pile up of dirty snow. Can't get your car out.
I mean...
20 seconds.
I mean, so we are seeing people dig their cars out and you know.
You can dig yourself out.
Well, what I said about not making things shitty for other people, it's when you're all in a situation together, when you're all like snowed in and whatever, it's inconvenient for everybody. So when you're like annoyed because somebody else is like shoveling themselves out, I don't know, just don't make it harder for other people. I don't really have a good way to tie this together.
Okay, it's close enough. I think in the amount of time that you had,
yeah,
that was pretty darn good. Okay. I'll take it.
Take it.
Cowabunga?
Cowabunga.
The Cowabunga Award goes to Malka Liora. Boom.
Blow it up.
And let's see if this is still...
It's still on.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, great. Great.